Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 20. Gospel of John and chapter 20. I think it was a financial advisor, and it may have been Carnegie in his book. I am not exactly sure. I remember hearing this and reading this. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I will add to that, unless they are chocolate eggs and it's my basket. You go ahead and put them in there, right? But the truth is, as a child of God, you can put all your eggs in the basket of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the very Son of God. He went to the cross. What he did there, he poured himself out. Literally, he bled out there hanging on the cross. And then he dismissed his spirit. And then he rose again after dying. He rose again on the third day. Amen. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1, says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and the sepulcher unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher." Again, God, would you take over in the service? Do what needs to be done right here in our midst this very morning in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the third day. Going back to 2,000 years ago, these are not the dark hours of the crucifixion. These are not what we are living today, not those days of despair, those 3 days of despair in the darkness and not knowing what's going to happen. It is the third day. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is the first day of the week. This is, we are here celebrating our living God and Savior. Because like you heard me say last Sunday morning, the resurrection changes everything. It changes everything. Him getting up from the grave, that means what the price that he paid for our sin hanging on the cross, that's enough. You've heard me say this before. The resurrection is God's amen to Calvary. Man, it's a wonderful truth. I know that in America, in our American culture, all over America today, there are people sitting in churches celebrating and at least acknowledging that we have a resurrected Savior. I want you to know that we not only celebrate the resurrected Savior the first day of the week, every week of the year here at Fundamental Baptist Church, but every day of our lives. We have a living God. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn back to Matthew chapter 27. Going to look at just two verses there, and then we're going to jump right back to where we are right now. Matthew and chapter 27 and verses 65 and 66. I could argue that the resurrection and what we are about to read about and hear about this morning is the biggest day in human history. Some would say, oh, wait a minute, what about the return of Christ? And I would submit to you, were it not for the resurrection, we wouldn't be part of that return of Christ. And Calvary's dark 6 hours when our Savior hung on the cross and shed his blood as the Lamb of God and finished the work of redemption, man, that was wonderful. It all got done. But if our God had not gotten up from the grave on the third day, then all that would have happened is the Son of God died on the cross. That's it. But because he rose again, we too shall live. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die." The resurrection changes it all. Look what it says, Matthew chapter 27, verse 65. Calvary's work is done. The gruesome work of the cross. Pilate remembers because some of the religious leaders of the day come to Pilate and say, "Wait a minute, this Jesus said he was going to get up on the third day. If we don't protect that tomb, then what is going to happen is the disciples are going to come and steal the body, and the last error will be worse than the first." So Pilate says, "Okay, let's set a watch." He says in verse 65, "Pilate said unto them, 'Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. That Roman guard consisted of four soldiers, and then there were four watches, so there were 16 soldiers, and they relieved themselves ever so often. For a Roman soldier to fall asleep on guard duty meant death to him. He would be burned alive in his armor along with the entire watch. So you know those fellas, their eyes were wide open. And you know the story of the resurrection. You know what is going to happen next. But look at verse 66. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The Roman seal had all of the force and the power and the authority of the Roman Empire. But that Roman seal could not hold Jesus back from getting up from the dead. Our Lord conquered death and he conquered the grave. And I said this last Sunday morning, the stone is rolled away by the angel of the Lord. And then some more angels come. So there's a group of angels, and one sitting at the head of where Jesus was laying, and one sitting at the feet of where Jesus was laying. So we understand there are multiple angels there. And those angels were there. The stone was rolled away to let man in, not to let our Savior out. Because our Savior was alive. I got a lot to say about that. I hope I can get to most of it here this morning. Go to John in chapter 19 now. John in chapter 19, just the last couple of verses. John chapter 19, and we'll pick up with verse 38, and I will read as quickly as I can. Verse 38 says this: and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich man, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought or begged Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. He took the corpse and brought it to an unused tomb. And by the way, that fulfilled prophecy out of the book of Isaiah, where it says that Jesus would be buried with the rich. So he was given, what we're going to read here, he was given a prince's burial. Even though this was the Son of Man, and he came in humility. It says in verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? John chapter 3. Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Rabbi, what do I have to do to be saved? You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So old Nick, I believe Nick got born again. I believe that he got saved. And it says here in the verse 39, there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in that place, or in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. I'm going to blow some ideas right out of the water, but I want you to know what I'm going to say in this next paragraph and a half, two paragraphs. It's what Bible teachers believe all over the world. We've gotten all caught up into too many religious traditions, and it's going to blow your mind. But there is no Good Friday. You understand, Jesus was not crucified on Friday. That is a denominational dogma that is not found anywhere in the Word of God. The Bible tells us he was buried and was in the grave 3 days and three nights. And the Jewish day starts at sunset. So our Lord Jesus Christ likely was crucified at the Passover feast and at the hour of the evening sacrifice on Wednesday. And then it was 3 days and three nights. And then at the dawn of after the third day, that's the resurrection, the first day of the week. That's where we are as New Testament churches, as New Testament Christians. This is our Lord's day. We don't celebrate a dead God. We celebrate a living Savior. Our God, our Jesus, defeated death. Without the resurrection, death reigns. Without the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, there is no hope of eternal life. But because of the resurrection, he being the first fruits, because he lives, we also shall live. Our God is not a little God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans and chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, wherefore sin entered into the world, and by the death of one man, many, all are dead. And then the second Adam comes, and he's described in chapter 5, and his name is Jesus. And because he lives, we too will also live. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 says that our Lord Jesus, hey, let's all turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. This is so big. I'll start reading. But now thou therefore, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, praise God for that, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Grace comes by way of the very Son of God. And then it says in verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath, this is the word, abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Our Lord Jesus, in going to the cross as the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, as pouring himself out, as bleeding out and dismissing his spirit and dying on the cross, and then the soldiers taking him down, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus coming and taking him to an empty tomb where no man had ever laid, and then putting a great stone in front of the door of the tomb, and then having the Pilate putting a Roman seal on that door. Our Lord Jesus, in coming to this earth and dying and then rising on the third day, abolished death. He destroys death. I did all kinds of word studies over the years on that word abolished. That word abolished, I could think of no better synonym than obliterates it. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thine enemy? You understand what Jesus did in getting up from the grave, because he lives. We who choose Christ, we who repent of our sin, we who put our faith in the finished work of the cross, the Savior that died there on the cross, we too shall live. We will have eternal life. What a blessed promise that is. You say, well, what about, man, so-and-so just died and my grandpa died and they claimed faith in Christ and I saw them, we lowered that body down into the grave. What about them? Quickly, go over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Verse 13, I'm going to summarize some of this. I'm going to read quick, so please follow along as best you can. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Old English word, those that have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or are dead in Christ will God bring with him. This is at his return. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, this is the rapture, shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You say, what's that all about? And then he goes on and says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, so it's obviously the rapture, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They say, what about our loved ones that have already died and their faith and their trust was in Christ? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So my grandpa, my mom, my dad, my grandma, every loved one that's ever died in Christ, having professed faith in Jesus, they were born again, they died. The moment their heart stopped beating, they were ushered into the presence of God, and they're already there. Amen. But their bodies are not going to be resurrected until the rescuing of the church. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain at the coming of our Lord will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So what about those that have died already and you saw that body put into the earth? That was their earthly tabernacle. That's where they lived. But I guarantee you, with all of the authority of the word of God, if they were born again, they're already in heaven. One day that body will be resurrected and joined their being there in the air, and we'll all be there together. Our Lord Jesus, when he got up from the grave after his death and his burial, 3 days, preaching in Abraham's bosom, I believe right after that, sprinkling the mercy seat on the tabernacle of heaven. And you know, after all that is finished, our Lord Jesus, he destroyed death. Something else he destroyed. Go back again to John in chapter 20. John in chapter 20 and verse 2. He defeated doubt. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 38, after his resurrection, "Why do you doubt? Man, just believe me. I'm right here standing before you. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Here I am. This is my resurrected body. This is my glorified body." And you know there was a little bit of confusion here. Verse 2 says, "Then she," this is Mary, "runneth and cometh to Simon Peter." She's been told that Jesus is alive. "She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple," that would be John, "whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not whether they have laid him." See, she was already told he's alive, but in the confusion, you can imagine this. She's running. She's breathing hard. I would be hyperventilating. She's excited. The adrenaline is flowing. It's early in the morning. So it's you know, just at dawn. So there's shadows everywhere, and there's confusion, and there's doubt. Verse 3 says, "Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre." They're on the run. "And they ran both together, and the other disciple," who was younger, that would be John, "the other disciple did outrun Peter," who's the old guy here, "and came first to the sepulchre." So John was the first one there. He steps out. He just looks inside the tomb. But he doesn't go in. He's stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. "Then cometh Simon Peter," he's slow, but he's steady. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him," and he blew right by him, "and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie." They're expecting to see Jesus. He's not there. He's not there. All they see is the burial clothes. And it says in verse 7, "And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." That's a whole sermon. In Jewish tradition, when a guy got up from the table or whatever the situation was, and when he got up, if he left his napkin folded there at the table, that meant he was returning. He's coming back. And it's interesting that all the grave clothes were just laying there, but the napkin was folded. That's a sermon. That is a sermon that I do not have time to preach right now. Verse 8 says, "Then went in also the other disciple," which came first, that's John, "to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." He's alive. "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Jesus not only defeated death, not only obliterated death, Jesus defeated doubt. And we all have doubts. On record, Jesus said in our King James Bibles, he told his disciples to fear not or not be afraid 103 times. What a message from our Savior. You have some doubts in the world in which we're living. You have some concerns. If you're born again and you're not growing in grace and you're not reading your Bible, then you're going to doubt your salvation from time to time. Because somehow, some way you think, well, it can't be a free lunch and I've got to do something in order to gain and keep God's favor. And that's not the way it is. If there was a time and a place you got born again, you are born again forever. And I would tell you, get back in your Bible. Amen. It's amazing how much faith this preacher has after he spends 2 hours with Jesus reading the Word of God. Man, it's amazing. I'll come out of that study, or I'll come out of my easy chair in my living room, and I'm ready to take on the world. That's what the Bible does. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you need to know this. Jesus defeats all doubt. 8 times on record, Jesus was seen alive in the Gospels, eating and speaking and walking. 1 time at a resurrection appearance, he appeared before 500 men, 500 people at one time. Look at chapter 20 and verse 19. Skip on over there. Chapter 20. And verse 19, "Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews," all kinds of doubt, "Jesus stands in their midst and said, Peace be still." Jesus destroys all doubts. There he is. Man, here we are huddled in fear. This is still the first day of the week. And there he is, and he appears in their midst and says, "Peace, be still." Look down to verse 26. "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas saith unto them, Then came Jesus, and Thomas as with him, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Thomas saith, and he saith to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in thy side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." So 8 days later, this would be a Monday. This is the Monday, one Monday removed from that first day of the week where Jesus first appeared to him. And now Thomas is there, and Thomas sees Jesus in his resurrected body. And now all doubts are faded away. And Jesus defeated all doubts when he got up from the grave. The resurrection is not only the cornerstone of all New Testament theology, it is the capstone of all New Testament theology. Without the resurrection, we got nothing. We have nothing. The resurrection changes everything. Our God is alive, and we can live the resurrected life. Our Jesus destroyed death when he got up from the grave. He became our first fruits. He said, "Because I live, you too shall live." Our Jesus destroyed and defeated doubt when he got up from the grave. And he defeated all the darkness. Look at verse 11 of John and chapter 20. John and chapter 20. 232 times in our New Testaments, we are called the children of light. Children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are children of the light and of day. We are not of the night nor of dark. This is not a mystery religion that we are part of. There's no darkness. It is not a cult. It is not an ism. You can open your own Bible. When you get born again, you can open your own Bible. And God, the Holy Spirit, will teach you exactly what the Bible says. I would encourage you. I'm going to warn you. Don't you read in between the lines. Don't you go with a preconceived idea and find a text to kind of prove some argument that you have in your life. That is not Bible study. That is someone with an agenda. They're walking in the dark, and they go to find a phrase to teach what they want to teach. So as a child of God, our Lord Jesus, he defeated the darkness. Let me read just a little bit, verse 11. "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not whether they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus." Remember, it's dark. Remember, she's crying. "And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her," and it was one word, "Mary." She'd heard that before. "She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni," rabbi, teacher. And then Jesus goes and he gives some more instructions here. We all go through times of darkness. Our Lord went into the valley of death, but he came back out the other side. The chains of death, the cold grip of the grave could not hold him back. You know why? He's the Son of God. Amen. And it was prophesied again and again. And Jesus taught his own disciples, even the religious leaders of the day, they knew that he said he was going to get up on the third day. So don't you know the demons of hell? They knew it as well. That's why they were all behind this Roman watch, these 16 crack troops guarding the tomb. They were all behind that Roman seal. They were all behind that big stone rolled in front of the grave. There's no way Jesus was going to get out. But on the third day, just like he prophesied, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. What a Savior we serve. You know why I'm a preacher today? Because my God lives. You know why I go to church? Because my God lives. I can live with resurrection power every day here in this world. We, as a people of God, we are called of God to punch a hole in the darkness. God's got a plan. Here's the big truth. This is the apex. This is really what it's all about. I was going to read all of Luke chapter 24 and verses 46 through 53, but I can't do that this morning. We have the Great Commission given to the church from the lips of Jesus five times. Matthew in chapter 28, Mark 16, Luke 16, John 20, and Acts chapter 1. Five times he says, listen, there's a plan. God has a plan. And Jesus, as he rose from the dead, when we get born again, man, we get to live that resurrected life. And after you get that resurrected life, now you go ahead and you start reaching people. That is evangelism. That is discipleship. And then you repeat that, and you get rocket fuel. You spend some time with God's people in the church house. You spend some private time in the Word of God with the Holy Spirit as your teacher. And God fills up your tank, and you get prepared to go out and reach some more people. And then the Great Commission, they get saved, they get born again, then they get baptized. Interesting, in case someone's listening that does not know this, we call it believer's baptism in the Bible. You know why that is? No babies are ever baptized in the Word of God. Nowhere. You're not going to find any. There's not a verse in the Bible, not a one. But here's what you will find. People got born again. They received Jesus as their Savior. It's called believer's baptism. They're already believers. And then they follow the Lord in baptism, because in doing so, they identify with Christ. They're saying, man, I'm in. I did it with my heart. I know I'm going to heaven. And now I just want everybody else to know I identify. Jesus is my Savior. And then the last part of the Great Commission is we get out and we tell other people about it. Something happened in the last week that blessed the heart of this preacher, and every preacher knows what this is about. Anybody that's got a son, you would know what this is about, or a daughter. This just happened to be a young man. He's a graduate of Maplewood Baptist Academy. I'm not going to name him because he's here and he'll get all embarrassed. And he has a quiet nature, but I'll tell you this, he's got a backbone of steel. And he texted me just before it happened. He said, please be praying. I'm going to stand up in front of 40 of my classmates at Lake Superior State University, and I'm going to give them the gospel. It's a speech. And he did it. And I know that a great amount of seed was planted. And I also know from other directions, it was very potent and very impactful. Man, we got a job to do. We need to tell people about Jesus. So there's a young man that did it. What do you do at work? What about your peers when you're not on company time? Do you ever talk about Christ? Ever talk about Jesus? Is he really alive in your life? Or is he an add-on, like an accessory on a new car that you buy? Yeah, you know, if it's appropriate, then I'm... But no. Jesus is our life. Again, John chapter 11 and verse 25. I am the resurrection. Listen to Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. What a Savior. A resurrected, living God. You know why this place, you know why this church is growing? Jesus is alive. Amen. It's sure in us. It's Jesus is alive. I told you, when we got into the building, we finally got the walls knocked out all last year, and we had our building dedication in September. I told you in 2 years, this auditorium is going to be packed. And then in a moment of wild faith, after reading my Bible, I got up and told you it ain't going to take 2 years. Look around you this morning. We got a 600-seat auditorium. And I know we got visitors. We're supposed to have visitors. That's supposed to happen every week. You know, and I know it's not jammed to the rafters, but this is full. Man, and this hasn't even been, this has been, what, 7, 8 months? 9 months, maybe? Something like that. God's at work. Let's get involved.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.